Yes, you're wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. And we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Shelby, I was so excited for you to see this movie because, you know, I thought, wow, Shelby's finally being represented on screen as a person living with ORF and dealing with ORF on a daily basis. ORF representation on the big screen.
Yeah, it's important to be seen and to feel seen. So thank you. Thank you to you. Thank you to the filmmakers. Thank you to, what is ORF?
Unclear, exactly. Some sort of sheep disease. And I actually wasn't even sure. Let me actually Google this. ORF.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Sheep disease. Like, is it a real thing?
Oh, I'm sure.
ORF, known as contagious eczema, scabby mouth, or sore mouth, is a contagious pustular dermatitis caused by Parapsica virus that primarily affects sheep and goats.
Aw, poor guys.
Well, glad that
we learned something every
day. Hugh Jackman was able to solve ORF for the children and make millions.
Make millions
while doing it.
That he donated to the Farmers Association.
Yes.
Love that for them.
We of course are talking about the Sheep Detectives this week. It was a bit of a lame duck at the box office this week.
There
wasn't a lot going on.
Sheep Detectives. I was excited for this. I called it out in our year preview. I told you it would be good.
Mm-hmm.
I made you see it. So I don't think it's one of our usual, like, oh, whatever. You know, ugh. We have to do this. It's a people pleaser. It's a big movie. Okay.
Big is a relative term.
People
I guess.
Have heard of it, you know. It's not like Animal Farm, you know. It's not like it was up against the Devil Wears Prada 2, but it held its own, didn't it?
Well, The Devil Wears Prada 2 came out the previous week.
I know.
The new movies this week were this and Mortal Kombat 2.
Right.
Which was a little outside of our wheelhouse. I don't know that we were able to really
cover that
in a comprehensive way. Speaking that, I don't think I've ever played Mortal Kombat, and I haven't seen Mortal Kombat 1.
Yeah. Oh, is it a recent? Is Mortal Kombat 1 or is this a legacy sequel? This doesn't matter.
I think
matter.
That Mortal Kombat 1 came out like a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
I think.
No recollection.
Mortal Kombat 1 came out in 2021.
Oh,
but
wow,
it doesn't
okay.
really, like,
no
like I don't know who these actors are.
Carl Urban.
He's not listed as one of the stars for Mortal Kombat 1,
the
though.
First one? Oh, okay.
The first one, the top billed person is someone named Louis Tan. Jessica McNamee, Josh Lawson. Like, I don't know who these people are.
Okay. Well, no, we got some heavy hitters in The Sheep Detectives, starring Hugh Jackman as a human.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice work of, I mean, a whole slew of people. Everyone.
Yes.
Anyone that's anyone wanted to be in this movie. So how was it? How was it? You were resistant going in. Were you pleasantly surprised?
I don't know if I was necessarily, like, resistant.
Roll the tape, okay? Roll the tape.
All the movies that we had, like, did I think that this was going to be good? Not particularly.
Okay. Yeah.
Was I, like, have we seen movies on this podcast that I have wanted to watch significantly less? Yes.
Yeah.
Like, every Marvel movie that comes our way. Yeah. I thought that this was going to be a Downton Abbey sort of esque movie. But I didn't necessarily have the confidence that it would be as good as Downton Abbey.
No, you said it looked weird and that you predicted 45% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes, and I stand by that prediction. That being said, this was a very good movie. I did really enjoy it. It was very cute. It was very funny. The mystery, I thought, worked really well. Mm-hmm. I'm honestly a little bit like, Rian Johnson, maybe watch The Sheep Detective before you work on Knives Out 4. Because I kind of think that this was better than the last Knives Out movie in a sort of similar, like, murder in an English countryside premise.
Yeah. Less Jesus, but similar vibes. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. But there was, like, church stuff, which was, you know, whatever. Yeah, I enjoyed this. I liked, you know, Hugh Jackman is technically the lead of the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, he's front and center on the poster. He is top billed. However, he's the person who dies rather quickly. Yeah. So he's not actually in the movie that much. But there is the live action cast includes Nicholas Braun from Succession, who is really great. Nicholas Galitzine, one of the guys from You, Me, what's it called? Red, White, and Royal Blue. Molly Gordon, Hong Chow, Emma Thompson, lots of people. And mm-hmm. then there's this whole cast of sheep, and the sheep mm-hmm. are the main characters.
Yeah.
The main one is voiced by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but we also have Bryan Cranston, Regina Hall, Patrick Stewart, Bella Ramsey. Mm-hmm. Once I realized it was Regina Hall playing the like puffy sheep, Cloud, I was like, wait, I love her. Like, put her in everything. An icon.
I know. Yeah, no, this movie is like, it's so strange that it works because it's written by the guy who did Chernobyl and directed by the guy who did Despicable Me. And it's about sheep, dumb sheep trying to solve the murder of their shepherd. And then it turns into a whole like piece about grief and memory and legacy. Oh, it was stunning.
Yeah, the tea behind this is very strange because it's based on a novel mm-hmm. by a German crime writer, but that is set in Ireland, called Three mm-hmm. Bags Full from 2005. That was then, the book was translated into English. Yes, it was written by this guy, Craig Mazin, who, like, top line wrote for mm-hmm. Chernobyl and The Last of Us, but also, before those, wrote Scary Movie 3, Scary Movie 4, The Hangover Part 2, The Hangover Part 3. Like, not great movies, but somehow
he had to find his voice.
took a spin. None of those movies seem anything like this. Neither does Chernobyl. Like, and then the director, Kyle Balda, is mostly known for doing movies like Despicable Me 3, Minions, The Rise of Gru, regular Minions, also the Lorax movie, famous Taylor Swift vehicle. Mm. So just a bizarre combination, which I think is another reason why I thought this was going to be bad. But somehow or another, all of the disparate pieces of this really ended up working out well.
Yeah.
Can I just say one thing, though, like before?
Okay.
My one annoyance with this movie that I kept coming back to is, why are some of the sheep voiced by Americans? Like, all of the, like, the live action cast are all people doing British accents.
No. Molly Gordon is Gordon, American.
But she's
Nicholas Galitzine is.
But he's Australian. Doing a British accent or whatever. They're doing, it's
Hugh Jackman. He's Australian.
Right, but he's doing a British accent. Like,
I don't think he is. Is he?
Whatever. They sound. I think he is.
I thought. Oh yeah, because he. Yeah, he's a local. Yeah.
Like, and presumably the sheep would also be locals. Like, and
they're sheep though.
But some of them do have British accents, and I'm like, why didn't they just get an all British voice cast? Like, presumably these people were in, like, I don't
you
know how
just
long
said how much you loved Regina Hall.
I mean, yes, I do love Regina Hall, but I wish that it wasn't Regina Hall in this role. Like, I don't know, like,
that
Olivia
really
Colman,
took you out. That yes, took you out did, of the film. It did. You're watching it really did. CGI sheep solve a crime using spilled paint and whatnot. And you're like, why is. And every time
Julia Louis-Dreyfus talked, I was like, why is this
Irish? Like Chris O'Dowd or whatever. Isn't he Irish?
Yes, some of the sheep are. And that's the thing that is weird. Like Patrick Stewart is doing his, you know, he's British. He's doing a British accent. And then we randomly have like Bryan Cranston, Regina Hall, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And I'm like, you're telling me that there wasn't, like, Olivia Colman was not available for one of these roles. Like, we could not have gotten a British person to come in for the
Is Chris O'Dowd is Irish. Did you mind that? You're just like...
No,
I mean, we live in a global economy at this point. So I don't know. Maybe Lily the sheep was brought over from America.
That was not part of the backstory. Also, I'm looking at the list and Julia Louis-Dreyfus is a Shetland sheep, which are apparently Scottish sheep. So... Fine. If someone wants to do Scottish accent.
But she was so good. Like, I think you need to relax.
I just didn't like the fact that it was like Hong Chow, who is American, uh-huh. is doing a British accent. Because she's a person. But then the sheep who.
The sheep
okay. should have also been the from the UK at large.
Sheep. Right,
from the British Isles,
cutesy little sheep with personalities that range like their accents range. You know,
no, I didn't. It bothered me the entire time. No, I was like, this is taking out.
That's an insane complaint,
Shelby. As the queen of bizarre
I'm not trying to do an impression of me having an issue,
and maybe that is the case, but it did not make me like this movie less. I really did enjoy this movie. I was just sort of like, this feels like a very weird choice to get these actors when there are so many British actors. Like, they it's like you have Emma Thompson in this movie, who's like the great British actor, and you have all of the people from the original Harry Potter movies who are not working on this new Harry Potter TV series. Like, we couldn't have gotten a couple of them to just come on over. Like,
I frankly,
like, Rupert Grint
voiced one of these favorite voice work was Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Bryan Cranston, and Chris O'Dowd. So you're not going to get a complaint out of me. Like, I think they were such a great trio of, like, and very emotional in their delivery of these CGI shows.
They were very good. They were good. Like, I'm not complaining about them and their work. I'm just saying that the world building was strange three non-British doing their whatever.
Could not have even guessed that's where you would go. I did not clock that for one single second of this film. But okay. I hear you. I accept your truth. You just wish the cast of Downton Abbey had their moment.
Well, right, exactly. The cast of Downton Abbey is not working currently. You're telling me that none of them could have played these sheep?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what goes into deciding voice work and voice acting, and did they try out? Like, did Julia have to give her monologue and see if she could evoke that emotion?
I think that when you are at Julia Louis-Dreyfus's point, you're offer only.
Well, okay, yeah. Right. Okay, but Bryan Cranston as the grumpy...
I think he's also offer only.
Winter Lamb. Oh my god. Break my heart. Fighting off those dogs? Are you joking? This is so beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into the plot of this movie. Yeah. So, basically... Hugh Jackman is a shepherd. He has all of these sheep. He reads them mystery stories every night. The sheep are kind of dumb, except for Julia Louis-Dreyfus's sheep, Lily, who is the smart one, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And one evening, or I guess it's a morning, they wake up and they find Hugh Jackman's dead body. And thus, a murder investigation begins. Mm-hmm. The town is full, as it is with a great whodunit, the town is full of characters who are suspicious and have different motives for why they could have potentially killed Hugh Jackman, most of which involve the fact that he has come up with this, he has a lot of money because he...
No, they didn't know that.
Well, yeah, but like he has land, which some of the people want. He maybe has money, which some of the people know about. And so there's monetary reasons why they might have murdered him. And the the policeman in the town, played by Nicholas Braun, is excellent and is a complete idiot and so fun to watch. And so the sheep, who are also a little stupid, come alongside and are like, oh, maybe we need to solve this mystery because we love these detective novels that Hugh Jackman would read us every night. Let's use some of those skills to try to figure out who the murderer is and then signal that to the humans. And so it then proceeds like a normal whodunit with, you know, different clues and hijinks and the sheep wandering around this town and the people acting suspiciously before we, of course, get to the grand reveal of who the bad guy is and why they murdered Hugh Jackman. And, you know, the sheep are excited by solving the crime.
Yeah, well, because it's like something that gets complicated as it goes, because it turns out he has a daughter and a son who he gave up for adoption when their mother died in childbirth. And now he's trying to reconnect. And so they're coming in, and then there's a reading of the will, and there's $30 million in his bank account. And who knew that and who wanted it? And why is Molly Gordon here so early? And yeah, I just found it all very like charming. And yeah, it has that like Knives Out light quality where it's all very fun and silly, even though you are literally dealing with a dead body.
I think that was so nice about this in comparison to Knives Out, or at least the most recent one, is that so many of the characters, the townspeople in the last Knives Out, like were either miserable or they didn't really have like a distinguishing feature. Yeah. Where I think this cast, like, you sort of know who they are right away. Like, I guess Molly Gordon's character is a little bit boring, but like Nicholas Braun's like reporter, or Nicholas Braun's policeman's good. Nicholas Galitzine's like reporter is really fun. Hong Chow is like the local innkeeper, like arts festival director is entertaining. Emma Thompson, obviously great as a lawyer.
Amazing. Gorgeous.
One of the guys from Game of Thrones plays the local butcher who's mostly in a feud with everybody who is a vegetarian in the town. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's like in the will, Hugh Jackman's character has beef with all these people and calls them out, and they're given like little little title cards, little high school superlatives of like the bad shepherd and the I don't even remember murderer, or the all I remember is the bad shepherd, and there's a priest who thinks it's him. The priest thing, so okay, so breaking down the reveals. Okay, yes. So Hugh Jackman is angry so spoiler with everybody. Alert. Yeah.
Yeah. Spoiler alert if you have not seen it. But if you haven't seen it, you should go watch it because the reveal is actually fun.
It's cute. I think. Yeah. Well, and I'm not even going to talk about the main reveal, like the final reveal. It's more like you have like these interactions with the townspeople where you're like, why do they hate each other? And there's like another shepherd trying to buy his land, but also he's like leasing the land to him.
Yeah, it's like Hugh Jackman's character owns the land that his sheep are on, and then also the adjoining land that the other shepherd is working on.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the other shepherd is not raising his sheep for wool, but is raising his sheep for meat, and therefore killing off the sheep and in cahoots with the butcher. And so the butcher slash other farmer or other shepherd's like motivation is, oh, if Hugh Jackman dies, then we can take his sheep and also potentially kill those sheep for food, which has sort of like a Chicken Run kind of energy to it, you know?
Yeah. And then the priest is involved because the church is who put is how the kids were put up for adoption, and they wouldn't tell him where they were once he was ready to like reconnect, or then he did, and then there was money exchanged. That's where I was like, wait, what's the anger issue here? Is it that he actually the priest actually like took the bribe or something?
Yeah, it was something like Hugh Jackman. Like, I guess with adoption law, I don't know if this is a real thing or not, but like you can put up kids for adoption and then you can't find out later who they are if you sort of like or where they are if you make that decision. But he somehow did find out who they were.
Yeah.
And contacted Molly Gordon, who came to visit the night that he was murdered.
Yeah. And then Hung Chow is like, I don't remember why he...
Yeah, I can't remember what her motive was.
It was like she was kind of jealous, like she had a crush on him, but it was never reciprocated because he loved his ex, his dead wife so much.
Oh, yes, that's right, that's right.
I don't remember why she was at the will reading, though, just for the drama. Hugh Jackman was a diva. He was a diva in this.
Yes.
Setting up this will reading. Hilarious to imagine.
What did you think about him living in this camper van?
It's great, you know, you have what you need. Why should he have a bigger house?
No, it's very, very New York apartment sized.
Yeah, it's cute. You know, it took a while for him to find his footing in life. You know, he lost his childhood sweetheart, gave up his kids, was struggling, and then found this cure for Orf. Yeah. And he didn't build himself a mansion after that. He kept on with his quiet life and his cute sheep and honestly, goals. Like, I would love that. What a life. I would prefer better indoor plumbing, but I respected his choice to live in his little house. Yeah.
Yeah, because where was the bathroom? We didn't really... Was that
I mean, they're just like usually... It's like an RV, so you must have to like... clean you it gotta, out like,
pump it up or I guess it's connected. I guess since he's not moving the camper around, maybe it was connected to like a more permanent water source.
Yeah,
like with like mobile homes, you know, those like the bathroom and stuff.
I'm just saying I'd want water. More space. I'm not saying he was living in a porta potty, but I personally, I see the appeal of his life and the solitude. And
but if you had $30 million, you could buy
it. I would give a little bit more to myself. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yes. Yeah, you could make like a cute little like two bedroom.
Yeah.
I'd want the tiny homes kind of vibe.
Yeah. But in general, you know, he was thriving, and it's just too bad that he didn't make it.
How did you feel about the Denbrook Cultural Festival? Which appear to be three tents set up with soggy cheese.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I mean, that's also the like scary part about living in a small town is like, what are we calling culture here? But I respected the hustle. You know, she printed her big sign and she got the attention of the local news.
I mean, this was a fairly diverse small town.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
Because the other shepherd is black. You have Hong Chow, who's Asian.
Yeah.
And then a couple of white people.
Yeah.
All sheep and are then from mainly sheep countries.
Just running around.
Some are American, some aren't. Really hard to tell.
Yeah. No, honestly, the whole I went with Penny and Rob. We all loved it. The theater was full.
What were Penny's thoughts?
we had a good time. She thought it was so funny when the wool eyes was tromping around the camper looking for mm-hmm. the book. So there were some good laughs. I think that was like generally, like I was thinking about it after and like how a movie like this could have gone wrong in so many ways, or it could have been like The Jungle Book or something, like where we have this weird freaky CGI mess. But this just had enough charm and enough like it, there was depth, but there was also like nothing offensive in it. It was never like trying to be edgy. It wasn't trying to be dumb and slapsticky. Like it wasn't, there was not a fart joke to be seen. And yet it was also very palatable. It was very like, you know, there were no, like it was a crowd pleaser in the most general yes. sense of the word.
Well, I think it was rated PG.
Yeah. It was like very safe, no like political undertones, but then there was like a real care in this idea of grief and death and loss, which again, I feel like people have been, we had like this era where as millennials grew up, we were like, we have to shelter our kids from anything hard and ugly, and all the villains are actually misunderstood and everything is really internal. And your Pixar movies aren't about bad guys. They're about bad feelings and like your anxiety and how do you overcome, you know, like whatever. We don't really have like hard truths. Like people die off screen, right? Like it's like, oh, mm-hmm. you don't have a mom, but that's not really what's happening here. Like Elio is going to space because he needs to find his family, but whatever. So it was interesting, like having a movie that was like
Elio was gay.
yeah. But his parents are like dead, so he's with
gay aunt. With dead parents. Double whammy,
but left to the side. But this was like, yeah, we're going to have this character die in front of us and have open dialogue about what death is and how to deal with grief and like how that pain can't be erased, but it can also be something positive. And I really respected that. I respected that stance to take in a children's film.
How did Penny handle the death sequences?
She was good. I mean, we have probably exposed her to more than a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily like the first. And like whenever she would like ask about like, oh, why doesn't Cinderella have a mom? We'd be like, oh, she died from this or that or whatever.
Well, you're always having her watch Eyes Wide Shut. Yeah. You know.
Famously, we have our horror Mondays. No. But she has seen Jurassic Park and probably too young. And she also...
All of Jurassic Park or just select clips?
I guess probably 3/4 of it.
And she's not terrified by the Tyrannosaurus Rex?
No, wow. The Tyrannosaurus Rex is cool. And it reminds us of our dog. You know, it has Lupe energy. You know, don't you think T-Rex in that movie is kind of like, it's like biting at the tires and it's kind of like, yeah, it's like, what's going on over here? You'll have to rewatch it.
She's for the raptors, or is that part of what you haven't shown her?
No, she's seen the raptor bit. I think the bit I always skip is, well, the main raptor attack with the clever girl. Because that's a little up close and personal, you know, ripping into his throat. And yes. Then the venom monster with the bad guy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But, but I think she's seen the rest of it. Maybe she's we skip the, like, shoot her
the,
part.
The kitchen scene? I'm like, that's the scariest scene.
Yeah. I mean, I think we... this does not matter to this.
I'm intrigued.
I'm going to get chewed apart by the parents on the internet. No, we would like watch it all together and play and be very communicative through it. And so she's seen most of it, but probably in different like phases, you know.
I mean, parenting is like such a fascinating experience because like even with, I mean, I'm sure this is the case with you and all of your siblings. It's like different siblings are exposed to different things at different times, and parents sort of change the rules about things as they go on. Yeah. And you know, it's so interesting, like the things that certain kids are allowed to do and other kids aren't allowed to do. And then sort of how that comes back to bite you in like either a positive or a negative way. Yeah. Like there were neighbors of ours who like weren't allowed to have junk food. And then they would come over to our house and they'd be like insane if they had, you know, like they'd be like, you have Oreos, and they would eat like 50 Oreos. And we're sort of like, you guys, like, what is the
chill
big deal?
Out.
Like, we always have Oreos. Just like eat two and let's like go about our business. Like, why are you like just smuggling them out in your pockets and stuff? So I went very fascinating.
I went and saw The Mummy 2 in theaters.
Okay.
And
yes.
You know, it's like the 25th anniversary or whatever. And I was like, this is crazy because I remember going to the movie theater for that movie. And I was like watching the various graphic death sequences. And I was like, my little sister was in the movie theater with me too. So she was like 6 years old at this point. And I was like, it is very fascinating to just think about, like, because I was the youngest of six. So we just got to see what the older kids wanted to see. But then thinking about like, would I take Penny to see something like The Mummy in theaters? Probably not. But I think The Sheep Detectives was like a good compromise there. Yeah.
Yeah. The world building of this movie is really interesting. And I don't know if this is a holdover from the book or, you know, where this came in. But there's this idea that sort of because sheep are dumb, they can decide at any point to not remember something.
Yeah.
And so anything like difficult that happens, they can just choose, oh, I'm not going to remember that anymore.
Yeah.
And there's this like bit of lore that's introduced early in the movie that, oh, sheep don't die. They just become clouds. You become a cloud at a certain point. And you kind of realize as it goes along that, oh, the reason why they think these sheep are becoming clouds is because every time a sheep dies, they just all as a group forget that the sheep died and choose to remember that the sheep was a cloud because it hurts too much to remember. And so as at various points during the kind of like murder investigation, as they're coming up against the hard truths of like how he died and what happened and, you know, what that means about other people dying and them dying and whatever, there's these opportunities of them where do they want to forget or do they want to remember? And yeah, it was very emotional to think about like how hard things shape us and how grief shapes us and how if you just forgot everything bad that ever happened to you, like how in some ways that might be quote unquote easier, but in other ways it really takes away the like sweetness of life and also is a disservice to the people that you love and care about. Like when someone who you really love dies, like having that grief is an honor. It's a way to honor those people. Which, yeah, I did not expect to be coming out of this movie.
I know. And there's like one of the sheep played by Chris O'Dowd, Mopple, for whatever reason, can't forget. Like he.
Yes.
So he's like the giver, basically holding these memories for everyone and is so alone in it. And so that was really sweet, too. Like that emotional through line of him. One at certain points, like holding up the group think of like, yeah, you turn into clouds and it's beautiful and it's touching. But then ultimately realizing like, no, you have to like face the truth at a certain point and kind of accept that these bad things happen. But that doesn't take away from the good that led up to it. And so then the there's a moment. And you know I hate when a movie makes a dog bad, you know? I'm always rooting for dogs. But in this movie, the dogs are real pieces of work, okay?
And so are dogs in real life. Let's all just accept that fact. Dogs equal bad.
Yeah, so there's one surly sort of old sheep who keeps to himself, played by Bryan Cranston, and a grumpy ram. And he turns out has like this really troubled past where at first he was just like in a cute little kids petting zoo and he loved it. But then the circus started making him fight dogs. Oh my God. And so then he was traumatized by this. But it all comes back because Lily and Mopple get in trouble and are being chased by some mean old German shepherds. And Sebastian saves them and sacrifices himself. And so now you have the dead shepherd and the dead sheep, and you're in this movie and you're like, why am I so emotional about these CGI sheep? And it comes back to Julia Louis-Dreyfus being such a good vocal choice for this role. So thank you. Thank you to her American ass for pulling that off.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely no one else that could have.
Not a single soul. No way. I was like, man, she's really serving. She deserves an Oscar nom for this performance.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus is low-key a very good actor. Like, obviously, she's very funny, but yeah. She is good in serious roles as well.
I know. Like, what is she? But what I always see her as, like, a cranky, ornery, kind of, like, sarcastic. I was trying to think of, like, roles where she's more of this, like, earnest, good doer.
I mean, I guess, like, she's maybe not exactly this, but she's in that movie, You Hurt My Feelings. Did you see that? Where she's the writer and she like stumbles upon her husband and in like a shoe store, and her husband's talking to his friend about how bad of a writer she is. Aww. Have you seen this?
No.
And like they're sort of, you know, like working through their relationship. That's a really good movie, and I feel like she gets to play more of a serious role in that.
But not serious. I just mean like kind. Like, I not mean, sarcastic, you know?
Like, not sarcastic, like a nice
person. Like, I
person.
Feel like her shtick is always, like, I'm good at a side eye, and you are pissing me off type of energy.
I mean, she's a little bit like that in this. Like, she comes around to being the nice, caring person, but, like, that's not exactly how she starts.
I guess, yeah, she's kind of a know-it-all. But right. But ultimately, she's like, her whole thing is she's so wise and named after his dead wife and stuff.
Right. Yes.
But yes. Anyways, doesn't matter. I just thought she did really good. And it was like fun to have her be in this like softer, sweeter, earnest role, especially coming off of something like the Marvels using her as a total biatch.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. She's so good at TV, but I wish that she was in, like, I wish that she could get some better movie roles, because she hasn't really done that much on the film side of things, where she's, like, been a lead and it's been, you know, an interesting kind of role for her, because she has a lot of ability. The person who I really liked in this movie was Emma Thompson. I thought she was so fun as the lawyer. I mean, which is
unbelievably
a role
gorgeous.
She's played before, but yes.
Just like stunning to look at. It's like, and you kind of expect her to be, there's like a villainous, like, oh, is she revealing all? Like, does she know more than she's letting on? Uh-huh. But, and so that was fun too, to be like, is she the bad guy or is she just enjoying her little visit to this little quaint town? Mm-hmm. She was good. She was funny. She got some zingers in at the policeman's, you know, what's that phrase?
Policeman's what?
No. I mean, she got a joke on him. Like, you know what I mean?
At his expense?
Like, oh yeah, at his expense. Thank you. Gosh. Thank you.
Yeah, she is gorgeous. And it also is so lovely to look at a celebrity who has not had like 7,000 tons of plastic surgery done, not to get into that conversation, but like, she is just, you're like, oh, just like a normal looking person. Like,
I
love
to see
it. I don't
know if we can call it normal. Let's not move the needle that far. I mean, that's not a normal. This is not your average, you know, 70-year-old woman or whatever.
No. I mean, she definitely like has had, you know,
I won't be looking like that. Okay.
Had her creams and, you know, whatever. But like, and her hair looks incredible in this. Like, she has such a good haircut.
Yeah, yeah. Gorgeous.
But
she's tones.
But
yeah.
She does not have Emily Blunt face, I guess, is what I'll say.
Yeah.
And then Nicholas Braun was also so funny as the dippy police officer.
Yeah.
Another brilliant performance. But he is American, so he was just doing a British accent.
Yes. Did you accept that? Did you think it was a good accent?
Yes. Okay. No, no. I thought it was good or good. Fine, you know, yeah. Passable.
Yeah, yeah.
I will accept an American doing a British accent because mm-hmm. it is set in
Britain.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay, let's do the cherries and the pits of this film. What were the highs and lows for you, Matthew?
Well, I mean, the low was the random American.
Right, okay, name, yeah, whatever. Get out of here.
No, I'm trying to think of like what I did really sequence. Like the reveal at the mm-hmm. end of who mm-hmm. the killer is. It yeah. It felt very Agatha Christie
yeah.
in that, you know, she sets up like these are the people who could be the suspects. And then at the end, it's like, oh, and the murderer is, of course, the one person who you sort of like had ruled out as like, oh, well, yeah. they couldn't be the murderer. And it's like, oh, no, that's exactly who it is. So I liked that. I thought it was a fun twist. And it wasn't too, like, twisty, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think sometimes, especially, like in the last Knives Out movie, for example, it's like when they're doing the final reveal of all of these steps and yeah. all the things that the different people were, it's like, okay, really this is too much. This is too confusing yeah. and yeah. too complicated and just, like, wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Where this conclusion mm-hmm. made sense that, okay, yes, yeah. this one person is just kind of like being more yeah. secretive and nefarious, and that's why it's playing out the way that yeah. it does. Okay, here's another thing that I thought was a bit far-fetched.
Oh, okay.
and full spoilers here. So, okay,
yeah.
when Hugh Jackman's character dies, he has one hand that's blue mm-hmm. and one hand that's green.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of don't know why that is. The one hand is blue because the Orf medication is
yeah.
blue. And so it's, I guess, stained his hand, or he had some yeah. on his hand, whatever. But it's unclear why the hand is green. And so they keep coming back to that at various points, as either just like showing the green or the various characters wondering about it. And it comes to find out that Nicholas Galitzine's character is the bad guy and had blonde hair dye. And mm-hmm. so when Hugh Jackman, I guess, like in the scuffle grabbed his hair, mm-hmm. the blonde hair dye in the rain came off with the blue dye on his hand and turned his hand green.
Yeah.
Which I was like, okay, could I see an example of, like, I don't know, like, how bad is the hair yeah. dye that it's coming off yeah. so quickly in his hand and reacting with this large amount of blue hand dye that's still on it, or the Orf medication that's still on his hand. I was like, this doesn't seem like this would actually happen in real life. Like, it's mm-hmm. a little too yeah, obvious yeah, movie sure. magic for me. So
yeah, it seemed like I was like, what kind of hair dye would be yellow? Like, because it's bleach, you know? It's not like literal. When you get a yellow bottle, a blonde bottle from the store, it doesn't come out like yellow. You know what I mean?
Is it not? So it's not like...
It's like white. It's like... I mean, I haven't ever done like a cheap blonde bottle. I've done like cheap brown.
Because I thought the thing with blonde hair, like mm-hmm. if you have dark hair, you have to bleach your hair first
mm-hmm.
and then you dye it whatever color you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. like theoretically, mm-hmm. if you wanted blonde hair, like mm-hmm. yes, you could just bleach it. Yeah, but I think yeah. you would then also have to like apply a some toner. Sort of blonde something or another to figure out which dye. Shade of blonde hair you wanted, right? Or like if you wanted low lights or highlights, or you right, wanted a strawberry blonde versus yeah. a whatever. Yeah, you'd have to do different things.
Color
so, is so maybe that's what they were talking dye. About.
I think what we have to do is you have to go to the store, Matt, buy some cheap blonde dye, dye your hair, and then rub blue paint on your hands and see what happens.
And then while I'm trying to murder you and you have Orf meds on your hand, you can rub it through my hair and we'll sort of yeah. see what happens.
It was like, I think he should have played it cool, because I think that was a big swing by the policeman. And he could have been like, no, I want a lawyer. This doesn't make sense. You're not going to frame me for this. Because I think it'd be hard to prove. And the yes. only way that sort of thing works is like Legally Blonde, when you catch them confessing, you know.
Well, it was very Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
In a yeah. good way.
Yeah. It was like, I think, one, you have to make it simple enough for the kids watching to understand. So color theory, yes. fresh in those kindergarten to right. second yes. graders' right. minds. Uh-huh. What does blue and yellow it's make?
One of the things we're still teaching yeah. people.
And then, yeah, it had to make sense for, like, I think that's what's always interesting about a twist or a mystery film is, like, you do have to, like, make it logical but still easy to miss and satisfying, so not too, like, dumb. Like, it's very hard, a hard thing to pull off. But I think this was one of those where it teetered on the edge of, like, okay, what are we talking about here? Like, what are mm-hmm. you doing with these paint cans and this lamb drawing on the floor and blue and yellow makes green and all of this? But I accepted it.
Yes. Okay.
That's where I ended up is it wasn't the worst twist. It wasn't the most annoying sort of like, haha, gotcha. But it uh-huh. doesn't necessarily hold up. Yeah. Under scrutiny.
Another random thought I had while I was looking up stuff. Hugh Jackman, I thought, looked very old in this movie. Mm. And I looked him up, and he's only 57. I think he spent too much time in the sun. You know?
I feel like he looked his age. I think you're used to, like, Wolverine, thinking that's a normal 57-year-old.
I guess that's true.
But he seemed yeah, and, like...
And he had, like, gray facial hair in yeah. this, which I guess, like, makes you look rugged. Older.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking a little scraggly. Yeah.
Talking to
How
sheep.
Old is Sutton Foster, I guess, is another
Probably
question.
Like 45.
51.
Good for
so
her.
So they're only a couple years apart.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you can get on him for an age gap, necessarily.
No. No. Well, because wasn't his last wife, woman. Like, an yeah. 80-year-old or something? Like, yeah, she is. She's 70 now. So that was, yeah. so that's like 15 yeah. years older than him.
Yeah, yeah.
I also want to talk about Nicholas Galitzine just oh, in okay. general as an actor. Okay. Because he, I think, had his big breakthrough with Red, White, Bottoms. And Royal Blue. Oh, he was also yeah, in yeah, Bottoms. Yeah. He was in Bottoms. Both those movies.
Yeah.
And then he had The Idea of You where he played the pop star with yeah. Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
But now I feel like he has a bunch of stuff coming out because he's got yeah. the second Red, White, and Royal Blue. He's going to be in Masters what? Of the Universe. What?
There's a sequel?
Yes.
To that movie?
Red, White, and Royal Wedding, apparently, is what it's called. At least on IMDb. There's not a date for it yet, but photography began in June or January 2026. So it's presumably
Red,
all
White,
filmed
and Royal
by now.
Wedding. That's hilarious. Yes. Okay, thank you for that update.
Mm-hmm. Speaking Chloe of actors, Fineman's in it.
Yeah.
Apparently. Yes, and then he's in the like He-Man movie that's yeah. coming out in a couple of weeks. So yeah, there how do we it. How do you feel about him as like an actor and as a celebrity?
As a celebrity, I've never seen him interviewed. I've never seen him do anything outside of his movies. So I can't speak on that. As an actor, I feel like I haven't really liked him and stuff
okay.
at Bottoms. I think Bottoms was the perfect role for him, and he really mastered that sort of zany, straight, plain, maybe gay, plain, mostly straight, weird, creep comedy relief. And I loved that. I loved that role perfectly.
Gotcha.
Him being like the leading man doesn't work for me.
Mm, okay.
And it might just be an age thing. I don't know. Is he like 22 years old?
I bet he's 30 something.
I know. He probably is.
Let me look. It feels he's 31.
Like, that's insane.
You think he looks younger or he looks older?
He just feels like a young, like he feels like that's for Gen Z. It's not for me.
Oh, well, he's our age, Shelby.
I know.
Ish.
I know.
slightly younger.
Yeah.
I mean, happy birthday to you, by the way.
Thank you.
Which I completely missed in real life, but
yeah. No. Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, I don't like the idea of you. I find him kind of like whatever. He's Wonder Bread to me, I guess.
I wonder how old the other guy in Red, White, and Royal Blue is. The one who was like married and divorced or whatever the situation with him was. Do you remember that?
What?
Taylor Zakhar Perez.
Oh, no,
in real life. He's 34, the other guy is. Yeah. No, there was this whole thing about how like he was like married to some random older man and then was like trying to keep it secret or something when the movie came out and people found out about it. It was a whole
I completely maybe that forgot about
maybe him. that was a scandal just on gay Twitter where people were like thirsting after him and then it was like, no, he's already married, but yeah. I think he got a divorce from whatever the old man is. This information could all be wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the sheep detectives.
Are you a fan? You just love him? Is that what you wanted to tell me?
No, I just think he's sort of, I have been thinking about this because I watched
Bottoms.
No, not Bottoms. I watched the Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, yeah.
The horror movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's like five teenage actors in it. It's Chris Hemsworth is one of them. He's sort of like, that's one of his early movies because he's not even the star of the movie.
No.
But I was, and Jesse Williams is also in it, and then some other random people who I didn't really know. And I was like, it's so fascinating, the genre of a celebrity who are like hot when they're in their 20s, early 30s. So they're in a variety of like horror films, TV shows, whatever, where they have to be, where they need actors who are that age. But then as soon as they age out of those roles, they like never work again and you never hear from them. I feel like there's also a set of those from like the 90s in the like American Pie movie kind of situation.
Yeah.
And so I've been thinking about like who from our generation is going, like, is famous now, but will not be moving on to the next round, and who will. Like, will Chase Suey Wonders, like, when she's 40, will she be an actor who we still know? Or is she like only ever going to be someone who was in movies in the 2020s? And I wonder that about Nicholas Galitzine, because he kind of has the energy of somebody who like in 10 years, no one is going to know who he is except for like millennials who watched this like specific set of movies that he made over the course of 5 years.
Yeah.
Or like the Riverdale people, I think is another group. Yeah, like
for sure. I don't know. So. I mean, yeah, I think that's interesting. And you know what's funny though is when they pop up and you're like, ooh, because I was watching, Margo's Got Money Troubles.
Uh huh.
And she has an affair with her teacher. And I was like, I know him. Oh, he's from Sky High.
Wait, which
guy from
Sky High?
The main guy.
Yeah. What is his name? Michael Angarano.
I don't know. I just he's Sky High.
You know what's fascinating about him is, do you know who he is married to?
I think I saw it, but tell me.
Maya Erskine, the Pen 15 girl.
Oh, yeah, that's
him,
right.
Are married, yeah. Which is fascinating.
Yeah.
But yes.
Oh, and you know who else is in Sky High?
Yes, Nicholas Braun.
Nicholas Braun. We're circling back. We're staying on topic. Good for
Sky
us.
Sky High is a fascinating one because there are, because like Mary Elizabeth Winstead is also in Sky High and she, you know, is like still acting. But then like Danielle Panabaker, like what is she doing these days? Yeah, like nothing.
Yeah, she's out of the zeitgeist.
The lead of The Cabin in the Woods is a woman named Kristen Connolly who has not really been in, she's been in two movies since 2014, but she's been in a lot of like random TV shows where she shows up for like a couple of episodes. Like she's still working, but like obviously not like getting lead roles in things anymore. She was in House of Cards. She was in a show called Zoo for a bit.
I watched it. Yeah.
Oh, you watched Zoo?
Yeah. It's where the animals the animals turn on humans.
Oh, I should watch Zoo. Feels like I would like it. Exactly my sort of range. She was also, she had a main role in The Summer I Turned Pretty. What? I didn't watch that, but.
A main role.
So she's doing something. She played Lucinda Jewell, Taylor's mother, in season 3.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can place that. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
That's right.
So maybe she's coming back. Now she's getting mom roles. But it is fascinating. I'm like, someone should do a podcast that's just all about people who were like hits when they were teens and have disappeared since.
What's the story? What's the hook?
It's just like, where are they now? What have they been up to?
They're just doing bad TV shows. That's it. Well,
yeah. Oh, they've been on CSI Miami. Yeah. Of course they have. Okay. Anything else for the Sheep Detectives?
Do you think there will be a sequel?
I was thinking that. I kind of hope so, but based on the money that this has made, I'm thinking not. Because it made, as of now, according to Wikipedia, it's made $28 million, but it cost $75 million to make. I imagine that the most expensive part is all the CGI sheep.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's like a big enough success to warrant making another one, but maybe it'll get like good word of mouth and stuff as people you know, like it. And this does feel like a thing that would do well on streaming as well, or like an airplane movie, so who knows, maybe it'll come back around.
And the Oscar odds, what do you think?
Well, I think low, because they didn't get enough British people. Like, had it been British people, yes. Like, had Maggie Smith voiced one of these sheep, R.I.P., it would have been incredible. R.I.P. But, like, instead we've got these Americans.
Does it count for an animated film? What's the rule there? What amount needs to be animated?
I don't think it does.
Yeah, I don't.
Because, like, something like the Lego Movie obviously counted as an animated film. Or did it?
Yeah. No, it did.
Yes, yes. Because it's like mostly animation, but there are like human elements to it. But I think that since this is so much like live action, that it wouldn't. Because also, I think even like the scenes of the sheep are like largely filmed in, it's like, you know, there's a meadow and then they just put the sheep in there rather than the other way around.
Yeah. Did it make you like sheep? Do you feel like you're pro sheep now? Do you feel like that's an animal you can get behind?
Here's the thing. I'm pro farm animal.
You're pro wild animal.
I'm pro wild animal. I'm pro farm animal. I'm anti pet is what I'm anti.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
And sheep are great. You know, like sheep, like wool, herding the sheep, you know, eating grass out in the lawn, like, great. Love all of that. Love farming. I don't, I'm like, I guess people eat lamb, but I don't really eat lamb all that often. So I don't think we really need to be killing the sheep. I think we can just, you know, use them for wool for the most part.
You're like, give me my cow, but save the sheep.
I guess.
A chicken finger a day.
And sheep are cute. Yeah.
But sheep, we're loving those sheep. Do you think this will lead to vegetarianism, an uptick? Is that
it for me or in the general public?
In the general public.
I think
very anti-meat, anti-butcher industry.
Yeah, but again, sheep butchering, which I think most people probably are. I think unless you're like living in the Mediterranean, you're not really eating that much lamb.
I mean, Indian food, lamb, mutton, lamb. Well, sheep.
When was the last time you ate mutton?
Well, I'm a vegetarian. Vegetarian, sir. Right.
When was the last time you were like in a situation where you had to turn down mutton?
Probably in England. I mean, the last I did have lamb in Morocco. So.
Oh, that was a while ago.
Yeah, I know. So that's much like, guilt.
And you're still dealing with
it. Yeah, I can't believe it. But it was really good, too. But never again.
Well, next week we have a fun horror film that I feel like you're going to like a lot. Obsession comes out.
It's Obsession?
Very, Obsession?
Obsession? Yes.
I think it's the big release next week. It's like a neon movie. It's one of the best horror movies of the year. It has a really good Rotten Tomatoes score. I think it was maybe at South by Southwest.
I haven't heard of this at all.
It currently has a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. I guess the other option is In the Gray. I don't know what that is.
I saw Deep Waters, and I think that's an option.
What?
Well, Aaron Eckhart is a pilot, and his
that came out 2 weeks ago. We've missed the moment. We missed the moment. Unfortunately, crashes
into an ocean. They have to survive that, but also sharks. So,
I guess In the Gray, I also haven't heard about, which is an action movie that stars Henry Cavill, Jake Gyllenhaal, and Isa Gonzalez.
Sounds really pretentious.
Interesting. It sounds pretentious. It sounds boring is what
exactly. Okay. It sounds like, okay. Wow.
So, yeah. So, I think are you watching Hacks this season?
I have caught up, yes. But I think there's a couple more.
Whenever that finale comes out, we should definitely do an episode on that. But that isn't for a couple of weeks now. Yeah. May 28th is when that ends. Okay. Well, we'll be back next week to talk about something or another.
Don't we have to do Grogu?
Well, Grogu comes out in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Grogu and I Love Boosters, which are both fun movies, both come out. Well, or not. I've seen I Love Boosters. I haven't seen Grogu yet. But those both come out the same week.
Okay. Yeah, we'll figure it out as we do.
After that is the Hacks week, unless you want to watch The Breadwinner starring Nate Bargatze.
Absolutely not.
Or Pressure. Pressure also comes out that week. our hit film, Pressure.
I need the weather.
I need the weather now.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how I'm feeling.
Okay. Well, thanks everyone for listening. We will be back with more next week. Until then, bye.